Generation X. Anyway, this is Justin and Bradley here on Gen X Reverb on a Monday evening, and we're getting ready to talk about Tron, 1982 version. And the reason why is because we're anticipating the upcoming film, Tron 3, Ares. Is that how we pronounce that? Ares?
Yes.
Okay, like the Greek. I think that's Greek or something like that. Anyway.
It is.
Okay, cool. And so we're going to talk about that. I'm going to try not to have a lot of vocal fry. I've noticed a lot of vocal fry in my voice on some episodes. So I'm going to try to make sure that's removed and try to sound interested in what we're talking about. Because I am interested in what we're talking about. How about you, Brad?
Yeah, but I mean, vocal fry doesn't indicate lack of interest. That's just what we read into it. Just like in the video you sent me, the entire, I don't know what Scandinavian language that was, but they do that. That's part of the language.
Yeah, so it is part of the language, but you can't tell me, and I'm saying it as in like any person out there, their perspective is if you sound disinteresting or disinterested to them, then that's how they're going to take you, whether you are disinterested or not. And that's why a lot of vocal personalities, radio personalities, podcast personalities try to sound upbeat to make sure people know that they themselves are interested in the subject that they're discussing instead of, next up on the podcast, we're going to talk about bacon bits from.
That's actually a very interesting subject. fake bacon bits. But no, I get what you're saying. What happens a lot of times here, let me close this real quick before Trace comes. Just 1 second.
Before she comes and shuts you down. Okay. He took his headphones off and hear that last part right there.
Yeah. Michael Jordan. Remember back when we were younger, everybody used to do that Michael Jordan look on the court, like the way he dribbled and his crossovers and the, hang in the air and go left, right with your hands type situation.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that, right?
Yeah, all the time.
That's what I mean by vocal fry. You can emulate one person that says that it's wrong or it's right, but it's not going to fix your podcast or you. Vocal fry is not necessarily a wrong thing. Just like that Michael Jordan move is not necessarily going to make you a better basketball player. You're just going to look like Michael Jordan. That doesn't mean you're going to score.
You're not going to be Michael Jordan.
Right. And my illustration's convoluted, admittedly, but my point simply is you can't be a one-trick pony. You can't take one thing like, oh, all I got to do is press on the gas and that's how I win a race. That's it. Okay, just remove vocal fry and we've succeeded. Like, vocal fry is not a bad thing, in my opinion. I just did it right there. And you just, after I listened to your video.
Right there. Right.
After I listened to your video, I do vocal fry constantly, but it's not done in a lackluster, depressed millennial way. Like in the video that you sent me.
No offense, and millennials. No offense.
I shouldn't say millennials. It's not millennials. It's not any one group of people, but yes, the guy who sent it, he can't do vocal fry, even though he's a linguist. And it reminded me of a sister that I knew in Grenada. She sounded like Mrs. Potts. Actually, not Mrs. Potts. She sounded like the geese on the Aristocats.
The Aristocats, those two female geese.
I told her, I said, Sarah, I finally figured out what it is about your voice and how you say my name that's, I've been trying to figure out what the X factor is. You sing my name in falsetto, Bradley.
Oh,
and okay. That is how the British kind of influence the islanders to talk too sometimes in a proper posh way. It's falsetto. Whereas, so I think that guy being British may be influenced by subconsciously that vocal fry. Now that we've given it a term, it's in British lingo, in British speak, falsetto and mid is that's it. No vocal fry. You cannot do this.
Well, they don't call it vocal fry, Bradley, but they do have their own word or phrase for what that is. Because remember how in that video, I guess we'll have to link to that video, listeners. It's a YouTube video, and it's actually one that's actually worth watching because he does it for a living. He does vocal. He's a linguist, like Bradley said. He studies language and how people sound.
He's like Henry Higgins. Literally, he writes out
Henry Higgins. Syllables. He's like Henry Higgins. Yeah, he's like Henry Higgins from Pygmalion. The screenplay or the actual show or the movie was called My Fair Lady. Wow, I love that film. But Bradley, he went in the latter half of the video about aristocratic, old, rich English men. He said that is exactly what they do. And listeners, he gave the prime examples of Sean Connery as James Bond. He does vocal fry throughout the entire time he's James Bond. And then the character, the beloved character, Shere Khan, the tiger from Jungle Book, the cartoon, the voice actor who plays him does vocal fry unlike better than anybody. He does it better than anyone else. And it's, you know, I don't have time for this here. Now tell me what the man cub is. And my voice is not deep enough to emulate his, but the fry, I got that. I have that at least.
Vocality of fried chips.
Yeah. And you sound like you're getting ready to go play polo and drink some cognac at 10 o'clock in the morning, you know, before brunch. And that is definitely something that's why the definition or not the definition, why it's been given over to, they say, basically Valley girls and young women who want to sound like they don't care about anything, which in my opinion, not yours, Bradley, because you already stated it doesn't sound like that to you. It definitely does to me. And then he pointed out the old British aristocratic men. And I'm like, wow, I did not know that. So it's, to me, it does not sound annoying on the Shere Khans and the Sean Connerys of the world, but it does sound annoying on Becky. And, you know, at Starbucks. And there's a commercial in there. I think it's pretty popular. I guess we'll link over to that one. I don't know what the TV show is called or the commercial is from, but we'll link over to it. And it's just funny because this guy comes into the coffee bar and he's just like, would you stop with all that affectation, your vocal affectation to your voice? Anyway, I just did. There we go. Only because I'm self-conscious because we're talking about vocal fry. I'm hearing when I do it every time. So anyway, any further thoughts on vocal fry or vocal crispiness, Bradley?
Not really, other than just my opinion that I like it. But like you, I don't like sounding affected. I don't like people putting forth effort to try to have like a package, like an external package, like you sent that YouTube video of Count Dooku. What's his name? Christopher Lee. He's supposedly, I already thought he was a spectacular actor in his own right. I didn't know how many movies he was in until Justin sent this YouTube link. But the thumbnail is of Christopher Lee having his hand up to his face like so, basically like a mirror. And his point was that most actors that he's seen are interested in themselves. They're in love with themselves. They're not really honing in on the craft. They're starting from the inside, from the outside in rather than from the inside out. He didn't say that, but I feel like that's kind of my illustration of what he meant. And so when it comes to vocal fry, like if you have falsetto, middle or vocal fry or any other type of thing, like I'll give you an example. My congregation keeps saying Pacifically.
I'm like, because Pacific is a word. It's just not specific.
Yeah, exactly.
They mean specific when they say Pacific?
They mean specific when they say Pacific. But they're,
got you.
It's one of those things where you're just like, you understand what they're saying, and correcting them would cause more damage than
to their just already damaged it go. Goods.
That's not what I meant, but
your buddies are already damaged goods. Got you, man. I understand.
But completing my point is, I prefer for people to try to be balanced. Don't just be balanced. Come as you are. Just be who you are. Like, no, that's polish real. Yourself up a little bit, but don't fake yourself. Don't become an actor. Don't, and also don't become in love with yourself. Don't, when you're on YouTube, when I look at a lot of these Instagram posts, I see a lot of mental disease in the actual poster. They're mentally messed up. They like what they're looking at. You can tell. And it's just like, I've seen that before in myself. Don't do that. Don't fall in love with you and the sound of your voice or how you look. And to a degree, you look in the mirror and you say, okay, do I look like that when I give talks and stuff? Okay, great. That's what I want to look like. But you need to focus on what you're saying rather than on, I want to sound like a professional podcaster and I want to pronounce everything perfect. Get out of here.
There's balance. I agree with you. I also want to just add that there is balance, though, because not trying is not the answer either. So trying to improve.
That's trying, actually, if you think about it. Sorry to interrupt you. Not trying is effort. You're trying not to try, and that's your technique. We don't try here.
Okay, I was going to say, not me. I'm actually trying to improve in the way I sound and so forth and so on. But at the same time, there's balance. Like we've already stated in previous episodes, we just want to get after it. Just have fun on this podcast. We're not, you know, glazed over with perfectionist frequencies and stuff, FM frequencies. We don't sound like we're on the radio. So getting that all out of the way and kind of actually talking about, I just wanted to say this about not your congregation, but those around the world, all of us. Come as you are. Seriously, that is a thing. Come as you are. Mm-hmm. Don't be a knucklehead. Don't be belligerent. Don't be bellicose. Don't be angry. Don't be so lackluster that it's not, that you're not there. Be present. But if you have your accent, like me and you have an accent, if we had reach over to another country and they were listening to us, they would hear an accent. Well, but we shouldn't have to change the way we sound for them. And vice versa. It doesn't matter. A boat or a bout. It doesn't matter. If you say a boat, it's or okay.
A boot.
Yeah, a boot.
Are we going to talk about this?
Minnesotans, Michiganders, Canadians have that special sauce that they have. They come as they are.
Yeah, don't change that.
Yeah, don't you. Change that. Be who you are. New Yorkers, be who you are. I mean,
Justin said, the bellicose. Get rid of your bellicose nature, but come as you are other than that, okay?
Other than that, yeah. I know you're from the streets. I know that, but you don't have to be that way all up in people's face constantly. But anyway, moving forward, we obviously enjoy talking about people's mannerisms and things on this podcast. Bradley and I. And Kenny,
I think,
and Mark.
Honestly, that's if we were actually going to go to any type of schooling beyond like a 2-year degree, that's something we would excel in is sociology. Sociology and then
anthropology. What is anthropology, man? I think I know what it is, but I'm going to look it up anyway.
Because I haven't looked it up in so long. Yeah, let me look that up too.
But yeah, everybody always tells me I've talked to so many people. Yeah, anthropology. That's what I'm doing. I'm like, what? What is that? Definition. So, anthropology is the science of humanity that studies human beings in aspects ranging from the biology and evolution of Homo sapiens to the features of society and culture that distinguish humans from other animal species. Okay, that's weird. One of my kids is waking up. Give me a second. I'll be back.
Okay. And while Justin is taking that child break there, I'll just go ahead and clarify for myself. The evolution part is not something that I'm remotely interested in because I don't believe that that's how we got here. But it's just the diversity part, the distinctiveness of each culture. So maybe it's not anthropology. It's just study of culture, sociology. Yeah, I think I had it right the first time. Sociology. And also psychology. Why people do what they do. And just the people watcher at the airport, et cetera, et cetera. That's me. Sociology. It's the study of social life, social change, and the social causes and consequences of human behavior. Sociologists investigate the structure of groups, organizations, and societies and how people interact within these contexts. And I don't think I'm that interested in all the systems that are going on today. So I think I'm nailing it down, Justin. I'm more interested in psychology. 16 personalities, the thing that you sent the other day, just why we do the things we do, how we think, like all those TED Talks about the child development of a mind of a 5-year-old versus a 6-year-old versus a 10-year-old. It's just all interesting how we do things. Anyway, now that you're back,
When you can listen to a TED Talk and it doesn't jam the politics of this world and this country down your throat, it's a good TED Talk. I've stopped listening to TED Talks probably about 6 or 7 years ago. I was done. I was like, I can't take these anymore. Because it's always some sort of weird agenda. It's like, can you just tell me some science, please? Please.
Amen. I agree. That should be soul.
Yeah. And same with PBS. PBS is like, okay, I can watch Antiques Roadshow and not have to be preached to. Let me see what else I can watch. Nova. I can't watch every episode of Nova because there's always somebody telling me, you know, that monkeys are related to us.
Mankind came from a single-celled organism on the surface of the hottest planet in the Hoth system.
Yeah. And how then there's Nova's in the Hoth system. Hoth. Side note, my daughter had on some Long Johns and sweats. She has some sweats. My 5-year-old, and she's over there burning up. I mean, it's like getting ready to be 400 degrees in Phoenix, and she's in Long Johns. We had to get her situated right now.
Is it hot out there right now? It's not hot.
It's not hot. What I mean is, though, it is definitely not cold, though. She's dressed like we're in Alberta, British Columbia. Yeah,
as she should, man. I'll tell you real quick, living here in California, man, I recognize that the warmth of Phoenix was like a coat over my body my entire life. And out here, I feel exposed like a nerve, man. Californians have no feeling on their skin. They're out in the cold and they feel perfect.
It's cold out in California. Every time I go, it's cold in California. And don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, at the beach. That's terrible. I hate that. But being
little
positive,
kids have blue fingers. Like they're freezing, but they're in the water with blue lips, like smiling. Like I'm like,
Oh, wait, you're like, whoa, is that real? Are you being serious?
These kids are in the water. It's freezing out there. I might be exaggerating for most people, but I've seen kids that are shivering in the water playing. And I'm like, no, that's not how this works. You guys don't understand that there's other bodies of water on the planet, namely in the Caribbean, that are much more desirable to be in. But
man, Californians, we can go in on Californians, man, right now. I don't even want to talk about them right now, man, because we've talked about Californian mindset so many times on this podcast. That's amazing to me. It's like, you know, you don't live in Florida. What are you doing? What? Get out of that water, man. That's too cold. There's literally people in San Diego with full body suits on, Bradley.
Yeah, same here.
Those are not the dumb Californians, I guess. You must be referring.
No. Well, those guys and gals are out there surfing and bodyboarding and scuba diving. They understand that if they're going to be in the body or be in the water for any amount of time, they obviously are going to need a wetsuit. But like, I'll give you an example. Jesse and Lisa came out here for a circuit assembly maybe 5 years ago.
Good and friends of Bradley and Bradley and his wife, Tracy, listeners, Jesse and Jaleesa. Yes. Go ahead, Brad.
And we're rolling out there, 4th of July, fireworks going off crazy, even though it's against the law. It was all on the news. The mayor was like, yeah, no fireworks. Californians are disobedient, man. They are rebellious. There's fireworks going off.
If there's any state in this country that represents disobedience, man, it's going to be California, Brad. This is a fact.
I mean, come on.
Facts, bro.
It's not just one state. It's definitely California, one. Texas, and New York.
Oh, I forgot about Texas. That's right. Texas.
Man, Texas is extremely disobedient. Like,
you're not going to tell me what to do, boy. I forgot about Texas, man.
Like, we don't even want to be part of the union. We're out. Nah, can't do that. We don't want to get involved in politics.
Yeah. That's the thing. That, let's be clear. Like, I don't even think our listeners thought we were getting into politics. We're just making fun of the people from different states. We know that Phoenicians
get made. You know how many times?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know how many times I actually put in disclaimers because I just know there's that one person. I'm always putting those disclaimers out there for that one extreme.
Did you hear person these guys? Like, they were talking about the union. Ah, come on, bro.
So to complete my story, dude, we picked them up at their hotel. We rolled out to the beach, man. I had on jeans, but just a t-shirt. And we're sitting there. We went to get sandwiches and we went to the beach. Long story short, it was freezing. And I finally said, guys, I don't understand. It's July. And in Phoenix in July, it's blazing hot. I don't know what's going on right now. The beach is supposed to be a pleasant place, according to everything that was indoctrinated into me growing up on planet Earth. Like, that's all I heard was the beach is pleasant. This is torture. I don't understand why you guys are crazy. I'm out. I went and got in the car and turned on the heater, fell asleep. I was like, this is insane. How do these people go? And kids were out there in shorts and chunks and bathing suits.
Trunks splashing and around. Chunkless. I'm like, they were in their chunkless.
Chunks.
You're 100% correct. I've been to California on the boardwalk at night in the middle of summer. And I had to have a jacket, you know, sweater jacket, all that stuff. So I actually think that's a good thing. But me and you are actually just pointing out how people are dressing. Like, how are you not cold? But hey, whatever. To each his own. Have fun.
Wear sandals. Why do I got to bundle up on July 4th? That's my question. Give me a real summer. Throw some heat up on this beach so that when I dive into the water, it's refreshing. Don't have wind blowing on me and stinging my skin. And then people saying, come on, guys, let's get in. And you could tell they barely want to get in.
Yeah, no, they're hoping I'm not getting in the water with them. Hey, so without getting in the water, Bradley, I would say California is very beautiful. If you can get a sunny day in the summer and the sun is, if you can get that evening, because it gets warm, like after like at 1 o'clock, it warms up and you have that window right before the sun goes down. As soon as the sun goes down, it gets pretty frosty. Cold. Yeah.
And Californians don't understand that somebody from Phoenix or even Texas or anywhere where it's hot, it does not cool down as soon as the sun sinks below the horizon. It stays hot.
It's like,
and Californians love that about California. And everything you just said is like people buying electric cars and realizing that, oh, here's the truth of it is these batteries don't really last. I can't drive across the country easily. I will have to keep charging. And when I charge, I can't get a full charge because a full charge takes over an hour. And there's going to be all kinds of, a full charge. Think about that.
Wait a minute. How long does it take to? Did somebody think they were going to buy an electric car and they're going to charge their car in the amount of time it takes to fill up a tank or something?
Those expectations are off the charts. But that's just it. You said the other day, or somebody did, that's what the powers that be, these big marketers, these big corporations, they know how dumb we are, how tired we are. We get off work and we hear a commercial and we get advertised to, and it's professional and it's coming from a big corporation like Tesla. that's backed by big, by the government, et cetera, blah, 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 with subsidies, yada, yada, yada. So we just believe it. We just eat it up until people start posting on social media like, bro, no, this is not real. Every time I go to a charging station here in Los Angeles, they're all taken. There's no way for me to drive my Tesla and have, for everybody to have a Tesla. Anyway, this is not about electric cars. The point simply is that electric cars are not where they need to be. California has a lot of caveats, man, that you will not hear from Californians unless they're honest. They just refuse to believe that there's anything wrong with California. It saddens them to see the truth, to see how crowded and packed and expensive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's road ragey because there's so many people here and so many young dudes have race cars, but you can't race them because there's nowhere to race.
It's just interesting.
Back roads. Yeah. So they got to wait till 1 a.m., get on the 210 freeway and all night, you know, you'll hear that. So there is racing if you can stay up at night, but now you can't go to work in the morning. So California is.
But then you got to get a drug then. Get some Adderall. There you go.
And
then
you know they're doing that too.
Yeah. So
it's just eating itself.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the entire globe in one way or another.
Truth.
So Bradley, let's port that over to driverless cars then, man. Port that over, that whole thinking. So the industry of driverless cars is saying how safe Waymo and stuff like that is. I don't know any numbers and things, but I'm just thinking to myself, well, we port the thinking over that usually when we're told that something is one way, oh, it's super safe, everything's good. And okay, well, you go be super safe in that Waymo is what I'm thinking. I'll let you be the test guy. I don't even take Ubers now. I don't take cabs. So why would I take a Waymo? I don't do that. But
yeah,
I'm thinking soon there will be stories at some point. I could be wrong. I'm just saying,
no, if we port that same right.
You know, the same logic of, hey, it's never really exactly what they say it is when you get there.
And it's not. It never will be, because humans are optimistic about the thing that they're talking about just because they're the ones who brought it up. Nobody ever wants to state the truth about the thing that they brought up in conversation. The truth is about Waymo and stuff.
Hey, Jack in the Box chicken sandwiches, man. They're great, bro. They're great.
They're the best. There's nothing wrong with them.
Hey, Jack in the Box.
Because I said it. Now, if you brought it up, I could find something wrong with it. I agree that there are problems with Waymo, but I think Waymo and any of those self-driving cars are much safer than humans. And here's what people mean. They oversimplify. Just like when they try to explain to you why a Mac is better than a PC, they're horrible at explaining things. They just oversimplify with, hey, Mac is better than PC. Okay, bye. Just like, how am I supposed to believe that?
Saying what it does best. What were you going to say Macs do better than PCs?
Mac builds the software on top of the PC. They're interfaced perfectly and they're cookie cutters so that if anything goes wrong with it, the tech knows exactly what the problem is. There is no customization with Mac or iPhone. It's all exactly little twin brothers, man. Millions of them. Those are the two benefits. People can't articulate that. I'm just blown away for years. People are like, you should get a Mac, bro. Well, why? It's just better. That's so general.
I can tell you one that's a big one for musicians.
Hold up real quick. To complete the illustration back to Waymo, oversimplifying. People are oversimplifying. It's safer. It's safer in the sense that, yes, they're not going to drive like humans. That's what you mean by it's safer. Yeah, Waymo's not going to tailgate at 100 miles an hour or ever go 100 miles an hour. It's always going to go the speed limit and it's never going to tailgate. There you go. Be specific in that one metric. Waymo it's insanely safer than the way humans drive, at least right here in this part of the world. Does that make sense?
It does. It does make sense. I'm working on my non-cutoff skills. That's what I've been trying to do this episode.
And you're doing wonderful. And that's all I wanted to say. It's just, we oversimplify. We don't get to the specifics. Like, now where it could go wrong is that the AI will break and you might one in a million get into a crash. And that's the risk that I think a lot of people are willing to take. But anyway, I just want to say, it's definitely safer than the way people drive, because people drive bumper to bumper 100 miles an hour. The dumbest thing you could ever do. I mean,
yeah, that is weird how people do that, even though they know they're going to get folded up in a matter of like half a second. Their car will be crunched up and they'll be dead.
So
I guess they just don't care.
About Music and Max.
Music and Mac. So Macintosh, basically there are very few flaws. Like, and what I mean by flaws is slowdowns, versus a computer, a PC. There's so many crashes on different programs on a computer, and the peripherals, like the Focusrite Scarlett that I'm using, what that is, listeners, is the interfaces, the different interfaces, keyboards, so forth and so on, musical instruments. They just talk to Mac immediately. Mac knows exactly what it is. It just works. Man, that used to be Apple's slogan. They used to have that as a slogan. It just works. And literally, yeah. Man, I got to stop using that word. Even if it's
literally,
not, if I use it wrong, or even if I use it right. I got to stop using that word. That's all I'm saying, you know?
So overuse.
It's overuse. That word is, man. So many words are overused. And I commit those crimes all the time. But anyway, yeah. So when I did pick up a Mac, I was like, wow, music creating is a lot easier at this point. So that's one of the benefits. PC is, like we've stated before many times on this cast, is like Android. Android has so many different versions of Android out on their phones. Same thing with PC. PC is all just all over the place with their versions.
What version are they on now? Ice cream Jell-O cone?
Ice cream Jell-O cone, mint flavor. Yeah, pistachio cone. Yeah, yeah. So good for Google. And they got this, because they just win. Google is winning like Marlock. Google is winning like Marlock wins. I meant to say Walmart. Yeah, Walmart. Walmart is winning the game through
welcome to Marlock.
Numbers. Walmart puts out pure, vast numbers at extremely low prices.
Vast amounts of low quality dog food for 2 cents. Correct.
And then that's basically Google. That's what they do with their phone. And I know a lot of Android users would be upset at hearing that. And who cares? You know what I'm saying? That's just my opinion. You can go ahead and make fun of iPhones if you want to.
You know what's funny about that is, and we're all guilty of it, there's nothing to be irritated about when it comes to somebody making fun of your iPhone or your Android. Literally, your day is going to be exactly the same as it was going to be after that person is done making fun of it. You're still going to be able to text message, call, and all that good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't be fanboys, basically. And fangirls. So go ahead, Brad.
You began this episode by talking about Hook. Now, I didn't think we were going to commit. Hook? Or did you say Peter Pan?
Nope. Man, your brain is all the way in text messages this morning. I said Tron Ares at the beginning of this episode.
Tron,
bro, you straight up had a senior. You're got a baby boomer.
You know why I was thinking about that?
You began this episode this morning talking about Heathcliff, man. Heathcliff
this morning. No, absolutely, 100%. No, you were talking about Tron. My bad, because Karen is going to be coming on to that episode. Sorry, she is linked to Pan, Hook, whatever, because her and Kenny are the defenders of Hook. But two things. We could talk about Tron. I think we want to save that, but I wanted to see if we wanted to. Okay, Justin took his headphones off. He's talking to. Okay, Melissa's telling him to shut it down.
Basically.
Bring his voice down a couple.
Basically. That's bits. My wife walking in saying, shut up.
Okay, yeah, no. Senior moment for sure, I guess. I was having some like irritation with Peter Pan. I was Googling why Peter Pan is still a thing. Really, honestly, why it was a thing ever. Like, why do we care about this guy? Seriously, man, you guys made the movie like 300 times. Can we be done? Here's a video. Say it again.
No, Hollywood's answer.
Yeah, absolutely no. So anyway, here's the thing. When I Google what I specifically Google, which is, am I the only one getting tired of Peter Pan? Am I the only one who thinks we've had enough of Peter Pan? Google will not return anything remotely close to that sentiment. It's always dumb. It dumbs itself down. Hey, Peter Pan, it's great. And it continues. We want to know why. Like, no. I didn't say that. I asked why this dumb movie keeps getting remade. You follow my directions, Google. And I watched an interesting video by this YouTuber who said that Google is losing market share because of that. Here's an interesting trend that I know you've seen. And listeners, let us know if you've seen this. You're getting returns from, I can't think of it. Reddit, there we go. You're getting answers on Reddit. Reddit is a community
of real people
just like you who are irritated. So they're like, forget Google. I'm going to Reddit. I'm going to ask this question. And the cool thing about Reddit is that its SEO is through the roof. So you'll ask these obscure questions like unpopular opinions. Oh, I'm in that chat group. Or I'm in that group, unpopular opinions. I have it saved to my favorites and I get the feed just to see what other unpopular opinions people say. Yeah. You don't want to be toxic.
Saltier than crate.
Saltier than crate. Man, one of my favorite groups on Reddit. It's great. Real quick,
pause for station identification. I have to be quiet, listeners. So if you get some vocal fry from me at this point, sorry. Here we go. Quietness from Justin.
Some of the listeners out there in listener land, they said, hey, I just tuned in even closer. I turned it up. Now that I know that I'm going to get some delicious vocal fry from Justin Gaines.
Delicious.
It's going to be great.
Yes. All right. You were saying about these these groups where you have to be careful not to be toxic. Go ahead, Bradley. Reddit.
Yes. Toxic. Yeah. You don't want to be toxic. You don't want to give in to toxicity and negativity because it really, really doesn't matter. All the opinions that we have, we don't want to be so opinionated and we will then start to lack our mildness, which if you notice, when you're a mild person, you're more attractive to others. It's so refreshing to be around mild, calm people who do have their opinions, but are able to calmly take them away and just let's set that aside and it's okay. And we're going to paint a little tree here.
It is. And sorry to cut you off, Bradley. So I am going to be a cutoff guy right here. Yes. No, please, and Bradley is correct. Be mild and still give your opinion. Reddit, bro. You get into a group that has unpopular opinions. It's amazing, though, how you have to scroll down and scroll down and scroll down until you find that one person that goes, dude, you guys are dumb. I don't think that at all. And they might not even verbalize it the way I just said it. They might not say, dude, you guys are dumb. They might just say, nah, I disagree. I think this is a waste of time. This franchise is very boring. And then I'm just like, yes, somebody finally said it. But you know what's crazy, though? In those chat groups, there's people that go, dude, you're being negative. Dude, what? Something's wrong with you, man. You can't say that in here. But what? Bro, didn't say anything wrong, though.
Yeah, the bots will spot anything and go ahead and remove your comment and all that good stuff. But
no way. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. You just have moderators, man. The AI is looking at everything you say, and it gets sent to a human sometimes. I don't know exactly how it works. I'm making that up. But I do know that when you go into those groups, the first message in each of them is an AI. Hey, I am not a person, blah, 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 blah. So if you say anything negative, I'll take that and I'll throw it away.
I've had a few Star Wars questions that I've had just get directly booted. Like I try to start new threads. And they're like, sorry, you can't ask this question. Have a good day. And they were benign. They weren't even.
No. You started a new thread.
Yes.
That's the problem. Reddit doesn't. Most online forums are getting the hang. They've had that for quite some time now. They don't want you muddying the waters. So it's like, nope. Ask that question over here. Go in there and it's already been asked. Now.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're trying to start up a new hullabaloo. You're trying to get like the pot stirred so you can just have some fun.
Whoa. See, we're dissecting Reddit right now, Bradley, and I want to. That there's this, and before I have to say this because I'm gonna forget, Bradley, there's this one guy that asked the question, does anybody think Kenobi was it you that sent that, Bradley? Kenobi was great, wasn't it, guys?
Almost that was my popular opinion.
I almost responded by saying, bro, are you trying to get people riled up? What are you trolling? Well, I don't understand why you're even asking that question. I almost said that, and I held myself back. I said, bro, don't do it. Just let it go. And I just got a text message from my wife, and there she goes. Okay, she's good. All right, go ahead, man.
So to your point, that's another thing, is just don't take the bait. Don't spend your time. You only have 24 hours in a day. There's so many people that have time to respond to that stuff, and I feel like they need to go watch a sunset or a sunrise or go rock climbing, something. Go get outside and have a social interaction so you don't get Alzheimer's, so you don't get dementia, so you don't talk about Hook and Peter Pan like I did, as opposed to Tron. Okay, so there was a guy who made a YouTube video that basically said that, yeah, Google is losing market share because it's not returning the hits that you want. So I just wanted to validate you, Justin, myself, and everybody else who feels like, man, I Googled specifically this unpopular opinion, but this big behemoth Google is like, nah, you can't have that. You're going to go watch the next Peter Pan because we said you are. Anyway, Tron. Are we going to talk about that now, or gonna wait for?
You very nicely helped us to appreciate. We need to wait for everybody who's not even going to be available for the next 4 years. Just wait for all of them, and we'll get after it. No, we're gonna wait for.
Can I share something then?
Yes, and I just want to tell the listeners we're gonna wait for our cousin Kenny and our cousin Mark and our cousin Karen, because we definitely haven't had her on the podcast. For the last time she was on the podcast was Breakin'. Was it Breakin'?
Yes,
I think it was the Breakin' episode. So yeah, she's definitely overdue to be on the podcast. So yep, we're not gonna talk about Tron. Okay, go ahead, Brad.
Yes, and we're looking forward to podcasting with you, Karen Baker, our cousin. Now, me and Tracy, indeed. She got me, yes, Tracy got me an anniversary gift of a John Williams Disney concert hall concert, and it was on Friday. We went, 8 o'clock, spectacular
Saturday,
show.
Saturday, you mean?
No, Friday night.
Hmm.
Saturday, we went out to eat. Friday night, we were supposed to podcast. We were supposed to do Pan.
That
me and Tracy couldn't. I had to go to the John Williams concert.
We weren't doing Pan on Friday night. It was Tron, 1982.
Sorry, Tron. Sorry, Justin, Karen Baker and Pan. Sorry.
Bradley has inextricably linked our cousin Karen with Hook and Peter Pan.
She was so angry. Karen was livid that we didn't like Pan or Hook, whatever it's called. Sorry, dude. Tron. We were going to podcast about Tron. I couldn't. And Justin set it up so that him, Karen, Mark, and Ken could do it. And it all fell through. So anyway, here's what my point was, that I'm just explaining to you guys how nice of a concert it was. Me and Tracy drove out there. We walked into the concert hall. If you've never been, please go. It's different than you probably would think it would be. It's just a big auditorium full of fluffy seats that absorb sounds. It's really nice. You'll see a picture of it online probably. Some of the songs they played, it was a guy named Newman. What's his first name?
Randy Newman.
He's done a lot of movies. Say it again.
Randy Newman or his the other Newman?
No. This is the conductor. Not Randy Newman.
It's a jungle out there. Okay, let me get the other Newman. It's
Disney Concert Hall, John Williams. Okay, Century of Film Music, by the way, is what the concert was called. And it was conducted by Alfred Newman.
No. He's Alfred Newman, it says here on Wikipedia, died in 1970.
Excuse me, his son. Sorry, Alfred Newman's son. Alfred Newman composed the Fox Fanfare. They opened with that. So imagine a symphony, and we were above the symphony, by the way. We had those seats, and they played it and your brain is just like Pavlov's bell. You know, you start drooling. Ding! Mm-hmm. It's just like, wow, this sounds like the beginning of Star Wars right here. Like exactly like it. Mm-hmm. Prowess. I mean, they were on it. And then Alfred Newman's son, man, let me get his name.
There's also a David Newman. That's who you're referring to.
He was
a
conductor.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, my father wrote that. And I was like, wow. So anyway, they played that. Corn Gold from Captain Blood. Miklos Rosas from Ben-Hur, which is really cool. Waxman from Sunset Boulevard Suite. Herman. Scene d'Amour from Vertigo. This one he explained really well.
Vertigo, where, the movie with Cary Grant. Cary Grant.
Yes.
Yeah, check that
and
film
David
out.
And David Newman. Yeah. He did an excellent job of explaining what anyway, I'm not going to get into each of these. What was really cool was that he was speaking, and this was before the intermission. He goes, you know, John, we really want to thank you. And when he said it like that, everybody started looking around like, what? Is John Williams here? And we get to the song before intermission is Lawrence of Arabia. It's the suite from Lawrence of Arabia. Mm-hmm. Bro, I told Tracy as it was playing, I said, honey, John Carter, the Disney movie, stole this song for its main song. Listen to those two songs, you'll find out. We get to the intermission, we come back, and let me tell you, bro, they did the main title from Batman, Michael Keaton Batman. Dun, 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 dun. Blown away, bro. Blown away. It's I can't even explain to you how spectacular that sounded. They have an organ in the middle that's built into the concert hall. That's the only time they use that organ, and they hit such a low note that they had the little bass rumble in your chest. Spectacular.
Yeah, anyway, folks, if you haven't been to an orchestral concert before, if you're not feeling that spice right there from Bradley, if you're not feeling that excitement, you will feel excited when you go to an orchestral, when you go to a, where was this place called, Bradley? What was it called?
Disney Concert Hall.
The Disney Concert Hall.
L.A. Phil place.
So Disney Concert Hall here in Phoenix, the Phoenix Symphony Orchestra downtown, and every city basically in the United States has a symphony orchestra. So go get those tickets and go get that, for a lot of us, a once in a lifetime opportunity, because a lot of us don't even prioritize on going to go see that.
I think this is actually anniversary episode. We can link back to that. If you're going to celebrate an anniversary, this is a secret tip. This is a hack, if you will. I always find that word hack funny.
Hey, would you like a hack? Would you like some tips and some hacks?
Anyway, this is one of them. Go to Disney Concert Hall for any type of symphony orchestra. It's going to be spectacular. You'll love it because you'll be surrounded by sound. You'll have the benefit of using your own imagination as opposed to a screen, which, by the way, please, I encourage you to use your imagination and go watch movies and all that good stuff. But the cool thing, and Justin's going to miss this now because he just got up, but he'll hear it when he edits the podcast. The next song that they played was excerpts from Close Encounters of the Third Kind by John Williams. Oh, man. Goodness gracious. So David Newman, the conductor, was explaining that when he was 23 years old, the way he saw the movie and how he geeked out about it, it was just such a privilege for him to be able to conduct the L.A. Phil harmonic to be able to play this song. And afterwards, he said, we just really want to thank John Williams for this great song. And then the spotlight went directly on John Williams. I knew I saw him beforehand. I told Tracy, I said, hey, I think that's John Williams right there. He's just chilling, like right in the middle. And he got up during intermission, blah, blah, blah. But the standing ovation was pretty cool. It was surreal. I'm not a worshiper of men. We don't want to worship men. But I'm like, this guy is responsible for like a lot of my childhood memories. Just the music that he put into these movies. Indiana Jones and Star Wars, which, by the way, we got some Indiana Jones. There was a song called Scherzo from Motorcycle and Orchestra from Indiana Jones. And man alive. That was so awesome. I think it was from either the Temple of Doom or another one of the Indiana Jones, but you just had Harrison Ford's face swirling around in your head with his hat while they were playing that. And these are all curated songs by John Williams. Think about that. John Williams, genius conductor, writer that he is, he's saying, these are the songs that have touched me. I've never seen The Godfather, and I'm not ever going to see it. I don't want to see that type of movie. But the music and the fact that there was an accordion on the orchestral floor, there was one of those old world guitars. The violins, the cellos, the timpanis, Justin. And then the last song they did, bro, Sweet from Back to the Future, bro. Bro. Justin Gaines.
Hey.
Me and you.
Yeah.
Seeing Back to the Future Part 3 together when we went to the movie theater together. When they were doing that part of the song, I was like, this is so good.
Yeah.
And then after that, you missed a part. I was telling them that John Williams was there. We did a standing ovation for like 5 minutes. Wow. Like, no exaggeration.
John Williams after
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
There.
Yeah,
this nice.
Spotlight just right on him. Spotlight, him and his wife. And it was so long. He started doing this to tell us to sit down. And then somebody said, "We love you, John." We all stood up again. And then for this last song, Sweet from Back to the Future, I just really want to thank Alan. And he pointed his fingers. And then the spotlight went to Alan Silvestri.
No,
he had on a leather jacket.
Way.
Alan Silvestri. He was just like.
Alan Silvestri, bro. That's awesome. Justin,
the part where you feel like Marty is going back to the future in the end of the part one, when the drums and the thunder. I was looking at the guys playing the drums. Ah, Justin, I wish you and Melissa were there, man. Yes. Yes. And then it crescendoed so.
Yeah, I love that. I know that was not a good rendition, listeners, but man.
No.
I love
that. And everybody listening gets it.
Yeah, I love that. He's trying to put those two chords together to make sure that the lightning bolt comes down and supplies electricity for the DeLorean. And we've all seen it a million times each, but it's always exciting seeing that part. Bradley, so Alan Silvestri was there. That's awesome. Cause I'm like, wait a minute, what are you playing Back to the Future for? But it was a tribute to John Williams and a little bit of Alan Silvestri, but it was cherry picked by John Williams though.
That's John Williams taking his hat off figuratively to Alan Silvestri to say, this is a song that not only has impressed me, but I really like it. By the way, John Williams is humble, man.
Yeah.
He, from the time we started clapping, he was like, settle down. It's okay. I'm good.
Yeah.
He just loves music.
Well, that's the thing. He really learned his craft as a young man. He learned it. He's not only gifted, obviously he's gifted, right? But he learned his craft. He didn't take things for granted. And that's why he was able to compose so many good songs that are memorable. There's something about that. I think John Williams knew that at a young age. Like, if it's not memorable, then what is it? It's not going to stick. Alan Silvestri came up with some lightning in the bottle right there. No pun intended for Back to the Future. But he also gave us something that truly sticks. You know exactly with just the little bells, the chimes that ring. You know exactly what's coming. The bing-a-ling-a-ling. That's back.
Oh.
Yeah. That also is like a Pavlov bell. There's another. Regale us, Bradley. You're having a good night with Tracy.
It just was. I told Tracy. I said, "Honey, this you've outdone yourself, and it's going to be hard to top this." And then I said, "Hold up," and I know I'm probably going to get hurt. I said, "The only thing that could top this is if we could come here." And they play all Star Wars music. I get all the best songs in symphony form, just beautifully played. At the intermission, it's beautiful over there, the little garden outside. Mm-hmm. They got this huge mosaic rose. It's you've seen it in pictures. It's just a big, nice, shiny building. I'm sure it takes so much effort to keep it clean, yada, yada, yada. But just a beautiful night, one that I wasn't expecting. And I think that was part of the beauty of it is get out there, get your date nights on, look each other in the eyes, put your phones down, spend time with each other. And that was good for me and Tracy's marriage. And then we clapped so hard at the end. By the way, they did a song from a movie Dad Would Love. It's called
Our Late Father, Daryl Gaines. Yes.
Yes.
What would he love, man?
After the
Robin Hood with Earl Flynn. Go ahead.
No. Once Upon a Time in the West.
Oh, okay. I was going to say The Treasure of Sierra Madre.
The Treasure of Humphrey Bogart. There's a vocalization in this song, just, you know, regular old. So his daughter comes out on stage. We didn't know it was his daughter. It's like, all right, dude, it goes.
John Williams?
No, David Newman's daughter.
David Newman's daughter, the composer.
Yeah, his daughter sings classical music like it's nothing. I mean, she wasn't moving at all. And this mic had to have been super expensive. Picked up her voice perfectly. Wireless mic. The guy just walked out all nonchalant and popped it on the stage. She came out in her flowing dress. And she's just, it's beautiful. If you've listened to the song, his daughter, did it. And I'm like, man, I could see where it'd be easy to hate this guy. Not me, but other people who might know him, they could easily be jealous of this guy's legacy. He knows John Williams, Alan Silvestri, his daughter singing soprano. He's a conductor. But I mean, the Philharmonic, last thing I'll say about the actual people of the Philharmonic is L.A. Phil has a lady named Bing Ma. She's the main violinist. Like Fiddler on the Roof, just the eloquence of how the fiddler was fiddling. She was silkier smooth, mm-hmm. man. Her little dainty body, her little dainty hands. You could tell she's older. Bing Ma, man. And that.
And she was playing the fiddle. She was playing the violin.
Violin beautifully. And that song from Vertigo, there's a solo. She got up and just tried to pull tears out of your eyes. And I'm like, nah, I'm not submitting to that. But thank you. Good job. Good violin.
Yeah.
And then we're all done, clapped, and then encore. I always forget about that. I don't do concerts that much. He came back out. Philharmonic stood up, sat back down, and then ba-da-da,
ba-da-da. James Bond?
Yeah, they did James Bond, man. James it was crazy. Bond, yeah. They had a drum set on the side, and the guy that was playing the guitar for The Godfather, he took it out and did the... Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great.
Okay, so let's go through some of his filmography. This is David Newman. I'm looking through. He doesn't have a ton that I would be interested in, but I'll give you the ones that stand out to me. So he did Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. So that's cool.
Oh, cool, man.
I think I remember watching a little bit of DuckTales recently, the movie, and he did that. And that has some nice sounds to it. DuckTales.
Ice Age.
Where are you seeing this? He did Ice Age.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude, this, on LA this Phil. List starts from the early times and goes forward as I scroll down. Okay,
sorry.
No.
You keep following your list.
You're good. Okay, I was wrong. Okay, so he did Alvin and the Chipmunks, Scooby Doo, all the modern ones. None of the stuff I would want to see. He did a Don Bluth one. I just saw that. Which one was it? Don Bluth, Anastasia. He did Anastasia.
There you go.
He did a Frank Oz film called Bowfinger. Don't even know what that is. Flintstones, he did that. Nutty Professor. 102 Dalmatians. So he does have a lot of he did Ice Age, man.
Mm-hmm.
Norbit. He did Nutty Professor and Norbit. How did he get into those two Eddie Murphy films? Like, okay, whatever. He's just trying to get paid. The Spirit.
Yeah, and keep his
mm-hmm. Spy Next Door. Okay. Spy Next Door. I forget who cares. Okay. So he's done a lot of films. He's in high demand. Oh, he did West Side mm-hmm. Story, by the way. West Side Story, the new one.
Boom.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. So that's funny. Any other interesting little tidbits from your concert night?
No, just, I realized that I do have a gift for whistling, because the lady that we sat next to, I was whistling the Lawrence of Arabia theme song at intermission, and she like stopped in her tracks and she was like, wow, I just hope I don't offend you by asking this, but are you a professional whistler? And she goes, wow, you probably sing too, don't you? And I was like kind of shocked, but a sister in my congregation just told me the same thing about my whistling. She actually stopped me and I was like, man, okay. So I guess most people can't whistle.
I forget his name. Walter. You're Walter from the Muppets movie. At the end, that was his thing. He did.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes,
he was doing that whole. Yeah, he was whistling. It was hilarious. Cool, man. Well, you had a good time, and I'm glad you and Tracy did, because I truly believe that going to those concerts where you dress up, you know, I don't think I saw a tie on you on your picture, but you know, put some slacks on.
Just polo and some slacks.
Yeah, put a polo on. Tracy had a dress on. You know. And you get out there.
No, she didn't.
Okay.
She had on pants.
She had on pants, guys. Okay. I'm over here imagining them with clothes that I think they should have on when they go see. They should be showing some respect. Put some respect on John Williams. No, you're good, man. That's like that one concert I went to, I told you guys about, at the Musical Instrument Museum, the MIM, here in Scottsdale, Arizona. And
oh, yeah.
And we were decked out, man. This was anniversary night. We were decked out. And then we get there and it's just like tons of people with tennis shoes on, man. New Balance and Nikes. And it's like, you people sicken me. You're taking the mood away from this beautiful jazzy concert we're about to. You don't even have to wear a tie, but New Balance? Get out of here with your New Balance, man. Mood ruiners. But anyway, Bradley's like, hey, I'm a mood ruiner player.
No. I agree with you. If you've been told that the dress code is a certain way, then dress according to the dress code. But I asked around at work and people were like, oh yeah, when you go to the symphony, you just wear pretty much whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I was like, no. I want to look decent. You know, I don't dress like this, like how I put on a Facebook. I don't dress like that at work. And that wasn't spectacularly dressed, by the way. But a polo and some slacks.
Slacks at the very minimum. Yeah. Some nice dress. They don't have to be penny loafers. They don't have to be wingtips, excuse me. But please don't make them tennis shoes. Just don't make them tennis shoes. That's have a little class, especially for a date night. That's just my opinion. But anyway.
Wearing LA gear.
So I'm going through lots and lots of music. He said L.A. Gear, Joe Montana. This is a Joe Montana commercial, L.A. Gear. Man, I've been going through a ton of music, tons and tons of music, just music, music, music. Listeners, do you understand how long playlists are? Does your mind comprehend how long it takes to listen to a 15 song playlist? Sometimes it's like an hour and a half. 2 hours. It's like, what? It's only 15 songs or 20 songs. Just go on Spotify and Apple and see how long those playlists are. Anyway, I've been listening to all kinds of music, and I've been putting together a bunch of playlists, and one of them includes, and I didn't know this, Bradley, because we're on the same subject about composers. I went to the Goonies and I said, you know, Justin, you got to fully invest yourself or not. Are you going to commit? And I was like, just commit. So I just played it from the beginning to the end, man. I listened to the whole Goonies soundtrack. And that soundtrack is wonderful. It's beautiful. The songs are just very memorable, just like John Williams and David Newman. So the composer, Bradley, this is a name we've been hearing. And I didn't know he was a composer. I just was like, okay, who is this guy? Have you heard the name Dave Grusin?
Yes.
Dave Grusin, Bradley. Not only is he an arranger, you've heard him on a lot of jazz stuff, right?
That's where I've heard the name, I believe. The
jazz stuff, because he's an arranger. He arranges instruments for different style, different types of music. Bradley, Dave Grusin is the composer for the Goonies, man.
Nice.
He did the whole movie. He scored that bad boy up, man. So when I found that out, I was like, dude, I've been hearing this guy's name my entire life.
Is he in Foreplay?
No, date. No, no. Foreplay is Larry Carlton, Bob James, Nathan East, and the drummer. I forget the drummer's name in Foreplay, but no, that's
Don Gruzin.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So Dave Gruzin.
No. Not Don Gruzin. I'm looking on Google. No, there's a Don Gruzin too.
Yeah. Okay. Don Gruzin. I don't know who he is, but Dave Gruzin is the guy. He's the guy. He's composed. He composed a fan, you know, Gen X fan movie. What do you call that? Cult classic. Is that what they call those cult classics? Mm-hmm. So anyway, man, yeah, go back, listeners, go and take a listen to the Goonies.
Right.
Listen to the Fratellis. The Fratellis theme music is really good. The part where the main character goes, "It's our time. Our time down here." Go to that song. And just hear, feel that hope and adventure that kids always seem to have, that a lot of adults are missing in their lives. Not necessarily as adults. We don't have to go out there and go searching for treasure and pirate ships. I'm not saying don't be unrealistic. Come on, be an adult still. But use your fantasy, your abilities to use fantasy, use them properly, but use them though. Don't just let them lie dormant.
Right. I want to say, speaking of the Goonies, there is a cool connection. So Kihei Kwan, right? The little kid from Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Dr. Jones.
Yeah.
He was also in the Goonies. And he was also Data. Jasper.
Jasper on Saved by the Bell.
Head of the class. And I don't know why he kind of fell off the map, maybe for the same reasons as other kid actors, you know, they get overwhelmed and they go. But he is in the second season of Loki.
That's him? How did I not put that together? I looked at him. I was like, this guy looks so familiar. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's it. No, that's the connection. Yeah, Kevin Feige asked him. He said, hey, you want to be? And he said he broke down crying on the side of the road. And yeah, so I just thought that was cool. Cause I, for years, I'm not going to lie, man. I was a little annoyed. I was like, I mean, not annoyed. I think sad. I think that's the word I'm trying not to say. I was kind of sad that we didn't see him anymore. And I was like, where is this guy?
And Richard Pryor's daughter too. I was sad. I was like, man, where's Richard Pryor's daughter? That's the last time we've seen her.
Oh yeah.
On Saved by the Bell and the comedian.
Who you mean the head of class?
Yeah, it's head of the class. Sorry about that, listeners. Head of the class, which is
Saved by the Bell. Hey, senior moment alert here.
Welcome back, Carter. No, we said head of the class already, man. Okay, go ahead, Brad. Sorry.
No, that was it. I just going down memory lane. You know, the time period, and like you said, really when you were talking about Back to the Future, together with me. I thought the reason why those songs and those chords are so cool and precious to us in particular is because they remind us of our entire family. Me, you, Brittany, Bryce, Radia, Mom. I don't know if we were watching it on VHS or on NBC with commercials, but those are memories that are embedded in my mind that, yeah. You hear those songs and you kind of think about it and you're like, man, this is kind of a cruel trick they play on you, man. They kind of knew that they were locking a generation into to being addicted to a certain sound, but it's like, we almost don't care. So that's all. It's just cool to go to those certain time periods in your mind. You have nice, good formative memories. And, I'm at the age of 45. I think I'm still not in the clear about how that works. But the more I listen to YouTube and different things, it seems like a lot of people are missing good experiences in their childhood. And I'm just taking for granted that we had so many good experiences, but I'm recognizing that a lot of kids today are not getting good experiences for whatever reason.
Absolutely not. And speaking to that same thought, that's why it's so important for parents to get their kids out of the house, or if you're in the house, like you're barbecuing at the house and music is playing and stuff like that, turn the TV off, turn the video games off. And an example
Turn the socializing up.
So an example of what we do on Sundays, what we try to do, and it's for the kids. Yes. Is it for me and my wife? Absolutely. It's for us too. But we don't think of ourselves first. We think about our kids, because every Sunday or Saturday or Friday that goes by that you didn't hang out with another family or hang out with another group of kids, that you're losing the opportunity, and they're going to be, you know, 18 before you know it. So we went to the park over in South Scottsdale, little Pima Park, and played on the playground. Their cousins came. Some other little kids came. We set up the cones. They were running around doing relay races and stuff and burning energy. Good for parents. We love that part. But we also love seeing the smiles and on our kids' faces and the camaraderie that they're building with other young ones. And older ones too, by the way, older ones, people who are older than them, they get to talk to Uncle Trevor, my friend Evan, David, and all these people, and they know them, but they get to talk to them more. They get to see them not in dress clothes. They get to see them in basketball shorts, and hey, we have fun. We get out there. So it's listeners, you know, with kids, prioritize on at least one day a week. As a family, get out of the house together. And I'm so animate about this that I'm going to keep commandeering. I just have to say, even if you have to do something like this, even if you're not like really into parks and stuff like that and throwing frisbees and things, go to an outdoor mall. If you can find one, an outdoor mall, and just like pay for something very inexpensive. I'm not telling you to spend a bunch of money. Please don't do that. Eat before you go, and then just walk around the outdoor mall with your kids. Look at the water.
That's a great idea, man.
Bro, they love it. My kids love doing that, putting their hands in the water, playing with the big gigantic chess pieces at the Biltmore Fashion Park Fashion Center. Mm-hmm. We're trying to teach them that we're not always going to get ice cream. We're not always going to get a treat every time we go out. You know, real life is
good
here.
Good lesson, yeah.
We're going to eat before we go. We're going to give you guys a snack before we go and just relax, and we'll get back home and we'll get something else. And there will be other times in the future when we'll be able to get them a Frosty or whatever it is that people want to eat, you know, the kids that want to eat. Crumble cookie.
Man, that sounds good.
Yeah. So I'm over here advertising for Crumble, man. Hey, Crumble cookie. So, yeah, get out there. Everybody, get out there. And if you don't have kids, go hang out with your buddies. Get out there. Get outside.
Yeah. Just like a public service announcement to loneliness. There's this trend that I've seen in myself and some of the people I work with who are tired to joke about not wanting to be around people. Obviously, that's not something that I want to do. I obviously love people because I'm over here talking to you. You know, I actually want to be around people, go to our meetings and everything.
And outside of me too, to be real, because you guys went out to dinner on Friday night or Saturday night with somebody else.
Yeah.
You guys went out with
Saturday
another
couple. Night, man.
Yeah. You know, it's not just me and Kenny and Mark. You know, you have a nice little web of friends out there in California. So that's cool.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the key. That's that. Interestingly enough, what I'm telling you came from my friend Elias. He actually said this on Saturday. So the point is like, yeah, true. We do get burnout, and like, man, I want to live in a nice, beautiful compound in the middle of a forest with like a 3-mile buffer so that there's no humans to ever contact me unless I want them to. Sometimes I fantasize about that. People are exhausting, but
The solar guys will find you, Bradley. They will find you.
Hey, sir. We found your compound. Did you drop this? Oh, anyway, I was just going to ask you if you have solar on top of this wonderful dwelling.
You don't get out of here, solar guys. Go ahead. Okay, so.
They always ask me at Costco. And I don't know how they feel after I tell them, oh, I live in an apartment, man. I don't own anything. Have a good day. Bye. oh, man. I'm trying to sell solar only to people who made it. Only the winners. Anyway. the point, you get where I'm going here. Loneliness, the loneliness epidemic. People are experiencing something that this, my friend, Elias is his name. He said, I'm noticing one of my relatives is kind of getting, he told me the same thing like 8 times. And it's because he lives on his own now. And I'm wondering, he's talking about his pops. And this is something that is very easy to understand.
And the thing that he said, the same thing that he said was what again? Because I'm not sure if we're...
Okay, so for the listeners, I don't know what he told. This is a dad telling a son something for like the 8th time. Hey, son, I've never told you this before, but this mouse is a Logitech, okay? What do you mean you've never told me that before? You just told me 7 times before this. You're losing it. The point being is that...
like that. Got you. Good. Like that.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not explaining.
Got you.
Exactly. And we've all been around elderly people who have something like that, or even people young. It doesn't matter. You've been around somebody. We all understand the concept.
If you're listening to this podcast, you've been around us. We've gotten it wrong a bunch of times already on this podcast.
Hey, we talk about doing Peter Pan, Justin.
So the point I'm just simply trying to make is that there's been studies to show that when you're by yourself and you don't have any interaction, that's one of the first things to go is your mental cognitive ability to be able to remember things. So I'm not saying to only be around people for the sole benefit of your cognitive abilities to be sharp. That's selfish. But realize that when you come to the conclusion that you can be there as an unselfish person for other people, listen to conversations, repeat back to them what they're saying, yeah, give them some therapy. Give therapy to everybody. You're benefiting yourself. You're helping your mind.
You're getting out of your own problems. By the way, we're at hour 20.
All right, let's beat it.
Yeah, so this has been a very fun episode for me. I don't know how it seems like you feel the same way, Bradley. Like just
100%, Justin. I think I've unshackled myself. Like, you know what? We do need a format, but today we are, can listeners just forgive us? We're giving you guys an hour and 20 of just spew. That's what I'm going to call it. We're going to come up with the acronym for that.
Yeah.
Spew.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a SP. Anyway. So your friend, man, is it Elias Cotillas, the guy from, who plays Casey Jones? Is that who your buddy is over there in California?
Elias Cotillas, bro. Casey Jones.
Ninja Turtles. Yeah. Casey Jones and Ninja Turtles.
Francis Wee Met's dad on The Greatest Game Ever Played, by the way, one of the best movies ever. Seriously. That's Casey Jones, by the way, just so you know.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. He's versatile. He's a versatile actor. I think we've stated that before on this podcast. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. This is Justin and Bradley. We wish Kenny and Mark were able to be here tonight, but they've got other things they've got to take care of. And we know they want a podcast. That's for 100% sure. It's a stress relief for those gents as well. So we look forward to them next time being on the next episode of Gen X Reverb. If you don't know, we do have a website, genxreverb.com. Please go take a look at that website. It has t-shirts and it also has stickers. I'm just going to call it out for what it is. It has Star Wars stickers. Go ahead and get yourself a Star Wars sticker so you can smack that right on one of your mugs and represent your love of Kashyyyk, Endor, Mustafar. Give me some more planets, Brad.
Dantooine.
Oh, Dantooine.
That's insensitive. There's gonna be some Karens calling us.
Yeah. Did you say there's no Dantooine? No. Wait, Dantooine. What's the planet that got blown up?
Dantooine.
Oh, so we do have sticker. Yes, we absolutely have that sticker. It's all blown up to bits. You guys will like it. Go take a look at all the different stickers we have. They even have Mandalore.
Don't forget about Black Spire.
Black Spire Post.
Where is Black Spire, by the way? What planet is that on?
I have no idea.
Batuu.
Yeah, so that's a planet. I guess it is canon now. But here's the thing, that we don't have that sticker. So, but we do have, like I just said, Mandalore. Navarro? No, I don't think Navarro. I don't think they have those stickers yet. See, we'll have to get those made. We'll have to put that in.
Literally, we could just take Tatooine and remove one sun, and that's Navarro.
That's Navarro, exactly. There's the Sith planet. I don't know.
Mustafar.
No, the other one.
Oh, Moriband.
Moriband, yeah. Oh, you know what? They don't have Crait. We don't have Crait.
Oh, we do saltier than Crait, my friend.
Yeah, Crait and a bunch of other planets. Just go to the website. So we just want to whet your appetite for our website. We do have a couple of Star Wars shirts as well. That's at genxreverb.com. For the social media, just go just type in Gen X Reverb, Facebook Gen X Reverb, Instagram Gen X Reverb. I think we're even on X. Ah, that sounds so dumb. X. Anyway, we're on X as well. But well, let's just call it Twitter still, right?
I think everybody else does really still.
Yeah.
Almost just to spite Meemon.
I mean, he...
Meemon Musk.
He messed up the part in Wreck-It Ralph, man, with all the birds in the tree. That movie just came out only a couple years ago. Now it's obsolete because he changed the name. All the little birds in the Twitter tree.
Not really. I don't think it's obsolete. I'm by kidding. The way... Wreck-It Ralph, yeah, okay, sorry, man. I'm over here interpreting everything, saying literally. Wreck-It Ralph did great, by the way. That was one of Disney's successes, both one and two.
Oh, I was going to say, so one and two. Yeah. Those films were delicious, man. And they weren't by Pixar, ironically.
And that's my point is, so we're not going to turn this into another podcast, but we got a podcast about the fact that Pixar saved Disney with Toy Stories 1-4. Monsters Inc., all these good ones, and then now Pixar is churning out
a bunch of
you be the judge of what you want to call it.
Yeah, preaching to us, man. So if Pixar saved Disney, Disney now needs to save Pixar, but Disney needs to save itself. Well, I'm done. I'm not even gonna talk. We're done.
We just did what we said we weren't gonna do anymore. Yeah. We're done. Just let that pile burn.
No more. It is going to burn. Yeah. Throw some ironwood into that fire so it can burn hotter and be done quicker. Thanks for listening.
Hey, do you mind if we get some hickory on that pile? Smells delicious.